for everything he's shown me in his word and the revelation that I have and that I see it, that I have an ear to hear. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for the seed he put in me. Amen. And that the same seed is going to create the word. It's going to, whenever I give it out, it's going to be the word. And I thank God for that. I just am so blessed to be here. And I don't want to be like the lepers that didn't thank God. And you know,
right.
No boot. I'm thankful. Right. I'm thankful I'm not on oxygen today. Amen. Because, you know, Satan has tried to put it back on me, and I just keep holding him at his word. Keep holding it. Because he said I was healed before the foundation of the world. He manifested it on Calvary, and I just have to accept it. And I'm just thankful because he's so good to me. He's just great. He's brought me to the fountain. And I don't think there's any place. I know it's out there, but I've only been here where I see it. And I'm thankful that I see what we have. And I'm thankful for the ministry. I'm thankful for our brothers that are talking. I'm thankful for the body moving forward and edifying us. And I just want to say I'm grateful.
Amen.
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 Uh-huh. I've got a few songs picked out here. I'm glad to be back. I was fighting off a little cold, and I'm finally getting over that. And I got to watch Wednesday service, and Isaiah asked for prayer for me. Now I'm asking for prayer for him because I'm hearing that he's sick. So before I get started, though, I've been asked to have Jeremiah come up and lead us in prayer.
Remember, too, Kathleen passed away last night. So remember Brother Brand, Kathleen's family. And
Amen. Any other prayer requests?
I have one, but Jeremiah.
Go ahead, Brother Doug. We can do that, Sister Moore.
I'm praying to just ask the Lord to anoint my faith. I claim the healing that he has already given me. I claim everything that God has said I am. So thank you for your prayers. My sister-in-law continues to need your prayers. She did have to have a pacemaker put in, but she's doing well. Amen.
Brother Mike?
I went out and I felt led to get 12 handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
And that's a brick hole. Because the little ones are fine, the nurse might throw it out. But so I just felt led to get those. And I got a little testimony here in a minute.
Thank you.
Timing was right.
That's good.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right, we can do that. Anybody else? All right. One more of these out, and the Wesley family.
Sister Anna.
Amen.
Doug, I'm going to let you know. All right, let's bow our heads.
Jesus.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. Here we are again, Lord, to get to hear from you and see from you and hear you speak to us one more time to give us what we need this morning, Lord. And we're here this morning, Lord. We're opening up in prayer, Lord. You said pray without ceasing. We first want to just thank you for everything you've done for us. And Lord, you've seen these prayer requests this morning. Lord, we ask that you move on behalf of each and every one of them. Touch Sister Sway's father, Lord, and touch Bren and his family. And Lord, Sister Moore's sister-in-law, touch her. And Martha has a request, Lord. We ask that you move on its behalf, Lord. And each and every one of these requests that were spoken this morning, and even the ones that were unspoken, Lord, you know the need, Lord. We ask that you move. We send your word. You said by your stripes we're healed. You said, ask and it shall be given. Lord, we stand here this morning as believers, knowing that you can take care of every one of these situations. You saw it before it even happened. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and this grace. Lord, we ask that you have your way at this service today. Lord, bless the testimonies, bless the songs, bless the preaching. Lord, move amongst us, Lord, and let us leave here like they did on the way of Emmaus, Lord. Oh, did not our hearts rejoice within us as we walked along the way? Thank you for everything you've done. Have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
You know, I was thinking about a few things this week. And, you know, you think about David, how that, you know, when the Lord is ready, when son of Bathsheba. Him and Bathsheba fell sick. You know, he laid on earth for 7 days, I think it was, you know. He believed God with all that he had. But yet when he found out that the boy did die, he come, cleaned himself up, went to the house of Amen. God, you know. There's one thing having faith, but being faithful is different. Faithful is you believe God no matter what. You know, and you know that all things work for the good of those who love the Lord and they called according to his purpose, you know. And I'm thankful to have that balance. I'm thankful to know that the bride is faithful.
Amen.
You know, not just faith. You know, out here in the church world, they try to work up so much faith, you know, and they say, oh, I had enough faith to do it, you know. But they're not faithful to the word. They don't believe the word through and through.
Amen.
So I'm thankful where God has brought us.
Amen.
Going to sing 117 in the choruses, but let them testify first.
I wanted to explain those the handkerchiefs that I bought because when Brother Jay got it, he was talking about his experience at the hospital. I never heard of the little squares. I just automatically would think because I grew up in a generation where a lot of men would carry handkerchiefs all the time, you know, and they would keep it in their pocket. And if the lady was crying, he would offer her to clean their glasses, but they never went anywhere without it. And so when everybody said prayer cloth, I would automatically think handkerchief. And so I've had people request them for me over the years. The one incident, my stepfather, he wasn't religious his whole life. He was about 6'8" and tough, but when his health started failing him, he asked me for a prayer cloth one time, and I said, well, I need a handkerchief. So he went out and he bought some. Like I said, he wasn't very religious. But he bought a dozen of them in one pack and had 13 in it. And so that was a sign from God for him. And he kept that thing his whole life. I mean, he had MRSA, and then they ended up having to, he had a hole in his back big enough to stick your fist in. You know, they had to change the gauze all the time. And he had some other problems. And after he passed away, you know, I didn't think about it anymore. And I had made other prayer cloths for other people. But my mom got it out one day after he was gone for, you know, months or a year. And she said, you recognize this? And I knew what it was. She said, I'm keeping it. She held up against her chest. She said, it still works. And all we did was just pray for his back. And, you know, I guess be it according to your faith. But I donated those. And if somebody's got a long-term thing or a big family where you want to pass it around, but it's a little square, either one of them will work. There's no preference. So, but I just want to clarify that. So, God bless.
Amen. Go ahead.
I just wanted to get up because I can't let another day go by without getting up. And I wanted to thank everybody, Courtney and Jay, you know, for my wedding. I appreciate everybody that came out. I'm really grateful. You know, it shows how much me and Kevin are, you know, loved. And I didn't want another day to go by without thanking you guys.
Amen.
It meant a lot.
Amen.
I want to be back as well. You know, it's always good to be back. Can't sit too long without testifying. I can't do it. I was able to listen to the services while I was on vacation, and you guys had church, you know, and I was sitting in bed like, man, you guys are having some church here, you know what I mean? So so the one thing that stood out to me, because, I mean, the service all were great, but the one thing that stood out to me the most is Jeremiah preached, I want to say, 2 Wednesdays ago, and he was getting up and talking about, you know, when you get that revelation, because, you know, I don't know if you had that. Everybody has that one friend when they think, well, you go to church, you think he must be just better than everybody. It thinks of that sort. And all your problems go away. Well, you know, when you become this bride and God's dealing with you, your problems just starts coming even more. You know what I mean? God's gonna put you through the fire. He is. And I just thought, you know what? This bride is rugged. You're going to go through it. I mean, you come here, you think your life's going to be peachy king. It ain't going to be peachy king because you're going to go through something. I mean, if you're not, then God ain't dealing with you. He's not. If you ain't going through anything and you're sitting here, life's so great, I'm questioning you because I know everybody here is going through something. You are. But the thing about it, though, God has preeminence, and he will get you through that situation. And I think about that every single time. I'm like, you know what, God, you're good. He is good. And I also just thank God for being part of the body because, you know, there's times that people will say, well, you know, hey, I'm only a foot. I'm here. But like, you know what? I'm still part of the body. I'm still a part of the body. I don't care. I may just be a foot. Okay. But I'm still going. You can say what you want about me. You can say what you want, but I'm still part of this body. So you can't get rid of me. That's why I can't get rid of you. I love that. And when you got that revelation, can't nobody take that away from you. So I just thank God for that.
Amen. You all can be seated.
Amen. You know, you talk about the foot. When Dawn broke her foot, that was pretty important.
That's right.
It made it awful hard to get home. Amen. I just thank God. I thank God for that seed. You know, that seed is something else. That seed is everything.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. You know, we've been watching this show called The Chosen. And, you know, it's just man's interpretation. But sometimes it helps you think. And they had an episode there where when Jesus told the apostles to go out and to heal and to preach. And they were just men. Sure. And then they were talking to each other and they says, how are we going to do that? Right. We don't know what to do. How are we going to heal people? Okay. How are we going to do these things? They said, you know, the master hasn't shown us everything. But he told them just to go out and do it. Right. And by faith, they went out and did it. Amen. And I think about that and I think about us. You know, God tells us to do things. Right. You know, and we think, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? And lo and behold, God makes a way. Yes. And you know, you talk about trials. Yes, we all go through trials. Yes. It's so funny. Dawn and I were just in the car coming to church and talking. I say it all the time. To have a spouse that's in this word, it is something else because you've got someone to bounce off. 24/7, you've got someone to bounce the word off of. And we were talking, you know, we all have trials. We all have sicknesses, pain, this, that, and the other. But we're saying, don't dwell on that. Don't let that define you. Don't let that thing take over because God has everything. The word is over everything. And no matter what your situation is, what your pain is, what your battle is, don't think on that thing. Think on the word. Think on your revelation. Think on who you are. Think on what your job is. Think on those things. And those things are what are going to hold you. Because this word, you know, you read that Bible and he says, if you're flesh is destroyed. If you have sickness, you have anything. The word will heaven and earth will pass away. But I'm his word. And I'll never pass away. I'm eternal. And that's I'm going to have eternal thoughts. I'm not going to have temporal thoughts. I'm not going to dwell on this world. I'm not going to dwell on all the chaos and stuff. I am in total peace. I'm in a beautiful valley. The sun is shining. The trees, the grass is green. I'm in a beautiful place. That's what I'm going to dwell on. And it's all because of him. I didn't do a thing. I don't deserve it. If I got what I deserve, my God, I'd be in so much trouble. I fail every day, but I don't dwell on that stuff. I push over that stuff and remember who I am, where I came from. I came from the mind of God. Where am I going to go back? Right back to where I came from. And I just thank God for that revelation that holds me.
Amen.
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 You know, I always want to come and be a part. And I was thinking, you said to take notes. And I've not been a good note taker because if I'd taken a note, I'm struggling to get the next thing. But I was like, let me try it. I was just reading over my notes when I first got here, and it helped. You know, it's like Dad was saying, you got to come, you listen, you apply it, and it always blesses you. You said, read your Bibles. Right. Reading my Bible, and it's helping, you know? I just wanted to thank God. One of the notes was Brother Warren, he was talking about, no matter what the fight is, you're going to overcome. You're destined to overcome. And Brother Moore said, you will always win. There's, I mean, when you have that, what can hold you down? There's nothing. You know, and I was just thinking, thank God for that. You know, thank God for being a part of this body. And like Dad said, a foot, a toe. As a runner, I've lost toenails. And they hurt. You know, they're every part of your body is meant to be where it is. It's important. It all flows. And, you know, I'm just, if I'm a toenail, let me be the best toenail. You know, I want to just do what I can. And I just, like I said, I want to come and I want to be a part of it. I love this place. I love this message. You know, the word, it has guided my life from the beginning, and I just thank God so much for it. I just want to walk around and thank God. I can't hold it in.
Amen. Amen.
I thank God for what he's done, for what he is, for who he is, for all of you people. I want to, the other day it was funny. We got here, Christy and I came here. We came to practice. And I said, you lay your hand on me, and I'm going to lay my hand on you. And because sometimes you're too close to a situation to be able to pray for your faith to get like it should be. So I didn't come empty handed. I will definitely be taking something away from here. So I'm bringing something. So I have a song. We have a song we want to dedicate to Jay and Courtney. That testimony has spoken volumes to us. We are the final voice.
Amen.
To the final age. He said all that he was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into bride. Now he either did it or he didn't. So I'm gonna bring my little piece before the body. I'm putting something in because I'm a part of it. I thought I saw AJ for a minute. Maybe it was a theophany. Amen. So I'm not going to take up a lot of time. This is for you, Courtney. This is for you, Jay, wherever you are. Oh, Brayden. This is for you guys because your testimony has blessed us. Each one of your testimony, I draw strength from that. I give honor to my pastor who puts up with me eternally. You know, they had a saying said, don't poke the bear. Because if you don't want, I said, Lord, what do you think about me? If you don't want to know, don't ask him. But for every rebuke I get, I thank God because, you know, it steps me up a little bit higher if you listen to it. Now, if you don't do it, don't do you no good. So we're going to pray. This is for you guys.
Okay, while she's getting ready, I just want to say, you know what? I'm truly thankful for this word. And I'm truly thankful for each and every one of you. You know, it was a time where, you know, like I told you before, testimonies were, we didn't do that. Well, I mean, I wasn't a part of testifying. And that's so important.
Yeah,
because especially like when you're going through things or you hear that in your mind, you know, you just go back. I mean, I hear Sister Dawn and,
yes.
Brother John and, you know, I remember just Sister Johanna. I mean, everybody in here. And it's so important because when you're going through that, stuff comes through you and you have your strength through that. So mm-hmm. I thank my brothers and my sisters, those who had so many encouraging words because, you know, when you're going through things, that's so important. Yeah. It's so important. Yeah. And I just thank each and every one of you here. I love you. Thank you.
Amen.
God was beautiful. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate Brother John's testimony. It really spoke to me. Because you, so many things in your life, you know, are happening. And, you know, even like when I go to work, I'm surrounded by death and sickness and illness. And it'll bring you down. And then life will bring you down. And circumstances will bring you down. But you got more. You know, I got the word to lean on, and it tends to, it'll cloud the picture sometimes. You forget, you know, what God has done for you, you know, and I appreciate God being there. I was like, he saved me with the lion, you know. He was there for me with the bear, you know, and I don't want to forget that, you know. And I was thinking about that song, and I was like, you know, that we had someone sing that song at our wedding, because that was our foundation and that was our desires for the Lord available. To use us, you know, we wanted to be available to be an example, you know, throughout our entire walk and our entire marriage. That was our desire, you know. And Lord, I don't want to, as we go through life and as we go through things, I don't want to forget the good that God has done for me, you know, because he's been so good. And I appreciate, you know, even the people in the church, you know, like Sister Sway said, like, you're loved here. And people here, they love you, you know, and I don't ever want to forget that. And I am grateful, you know, that my friends are in the body. You know, my best friends are in the body. Right. My spouse is in the body. My children, you know, are in the body, and I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful.
Amen. We have some brothers get the offering. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
I was thinking once when Pastor was talking about how much it is God and how little it is man. And I actually have a full revelation on that. The ministry, for all intents and purposes, is a telephone. Nothing more, nothing less. They don't have their own message. When you listen to the ministry, you're listening directly from God to you. The telephone doesn't say anything itself. It just passes on a message. Remember, Brother Branham said that this bride will not be manhandled. It's not the man, it's the God in the man. That's every right, time that sure. someone gets up, and I'm not talking to you guys also. When you guys get up here and you testify what's in your heart, you're testifying as to what God has shown you, and you are a telephone, the messenger, a carrier of God's word. Amen. That's all a telephone is. That's what the ministry is. It's a carrier of God's word directly to you. It's so little man, and it's so much God. That's preaching to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Sing Feeling So Much Better. It's 117, the chorus. About this good old way, I'm feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. Oh, so let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, that old devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. That old devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord. One more time. I'm feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. I'm feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. Let's go on, let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on talking about the Lord.
Let's go on.
Let's go on talking about this little Lord. Go ahead.
I count it a privilege to be able to be a part of this body. I count it a privilege to be able to walk in the doors.
Yes,
I count it a privilege to be able to be counted as one of God's own. I thank God for this body.
Amen.
I thank God for the revelation.
Yes.
You know, I get so much here. I can line myself up with what Sister Lee said, with Brother Prater said. And we're overcomers.
Yes,
day by day, moment by moment. You know, I thank God when Renee talked about that T-shirt. I said, you know, I want one of those. Because those T-shirts, it was a T-shirt about being an overcomer. We overcome using the Word. Sister Elise mentioned talking about, you know, just reading our Bible. Brother Moore said so. Sister Moore said so, you know, which is God in flesh. When we are told things over this pulpit, I take it for God. I thank God when I can take a rebuke. Oh, my gosh. And I thank God because, you know, when you're traveling, I had to travel during the wedding that Sway and Brother Kevin had. You know, I wanted to be there. You know, it was on my calendar. But something prevented that. You know, when something says, which is your spouse, says, hey, we're going to do this, you got to die to yourself. And I had to die many deaths. Even on the trip, I was dying. My husband's like, what's wrong? I'm like, the wedding's happening right now. God bless me. I wanted to be there. You know, it hurt me because that was my desire. I wanted to be one of those who did participate. But there's times when Brother Moore told me, says it to Belinda, when you do what you do, you make decisions that you make, there's going to be something required there.
Yes.
Right.
And that's a death to yourself. And to that means that's where I overcome Belinda. Because when Brother James Pickens, God in flesh again, said, there's two-thirds of us that are flesh and spirit. That soul wins the only thing that's saved. So when you die to yourself, gosh, what, you got two-thirds, and that's a lot. That you're going to have to overcome.
Yeah.
Day by day, moment by moment, because there's a battle of the mind that we deal with in this life. But I'm looking forward to that other life. I feed that other dog. And to also mention, when I'm on the trip, never have a problem driving. But did I not all of a sudden have a fear for these trucks? All of a sudden I'm driving, you know, and I'm thinking, that truck is bigger than me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that is not God. God does not use spirit of fear. Die to that.
I had to
feed that other dog at that time, because maybe my husband's like, whoa, you're driving a little different, honey. And I'm like, you're right, because I'm not allowing that other dog to prevail. And don't you know, I had to silence that dog, and I was driving like I needed to. And with peace, bottom line, with peace. I don't want to walk through this life struggling and going through anything, because I'm blessed. I'm an overcomer. And I manifest that day by day. I had an encounter in my job that came up, and boy, oh, boy, you know, I'm an example. So to that end, when people watch you, you know, they're watching your life because they know what you've been through. They know they've seen what you've done. They've seen you died this. So once again, when something came up, I was like, okay, y'all, buckle up, because we about to take a ride. And you have to speak your truth and the truth of the word of what you are, what I get here. And it helped me, because when I help myself, I'm helping someone else. And I thank God for that, because I have that revelation that I get here. There's so many nuggets about, you know, little things come your way. And I know I might be taking a moment, but I'm going to take my moment. Because my pastor said I can. Mm-hmm. I'm going to speak to the truth that I know that has blessed me. This word has blessed me. And I say that to say, when something came through my phone the other night, and I was like, and you know, people will send you something, you'll click on it, you're like, okay, that's not going to help me. And I was like, well, to that end, I said, once again, use the word. Because I don't have to let what they're worrying and going through, that doesn't affect me. If I allow it, it will. But I'm not going to. I don't have to. So I've made another choice. So I thank God, because without that revelation that we have peace here, if we apply what we get, it's gold.
Amen.
It's gold. And I thank God.
Amen. Go ahead, sis. You can be seated.
I just wanted to say I'm grateful to be here one more time. it is it's been interesting to watch my progression, like for me to watch my own progression and to realize all of these things that I've seen different members of the body that say, you know, you've got to push. Okay, well, I know how to push. I know how to go through some things no matter what. But there's a certain, when God helps you push, when God is there and he starts coming out of you, the push looks different because there's something inside of you, inside of me that makes the push easier and it makes it looks different. It's not just, I barely look like I'm making it, but I'm still going through. It's a literal transformation when God manifests through me that other people can see, and I take it for granted, but it's all him. All him that helps me to overcome. And he gives me the strength. He gives me the ability that I used to think before the message was a part of me, but it wasn't. It was him keeping me all this time. All this time. All the smarts I thought, no. No, it's literally all God. Anything I ever thought I had or knew is literally because of him. And he has humbled me so much into realizing how much of what I thought was me was really just him coming through me to serve his purpose, to meet people, to interact with people, to get me to where he needed me to be. And I'm so grateful for this place to open my eyes because I was blind. Mm-hmm. And now I see.
Thank you, Lord.
And I see how much he means to me. And I can't do a thing without him in my life.
Yeah.
Amen. You'd be the last one.
All right. Two things. One, I listened to my wife on the way to church, and whether my response might be a rebuke or whether it's something that will edify us, that seems to start something that I hear here. I don't, it's like, you know, God's, I know that God's in me, God's in Crystal. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing that our conversations somehow have a way of working itself into the service, either through somebody's testimony or what Brother Moore says. Yeah. And I'm just so amazed, and I'm so thankful. You know, we say that we're thankful that we have an ear to hear, and we are. But it's, you know, I'm also thankful that I can lay my idea down and take on God.
Yes.
You know, because not everybody has that ability to do that. They'll hear the word and it's like, huh, what's that? You know, and I thank God that I'm still counted worthy to be among the saints. And that's one. And then the second thing has to do with my getting up. Brothers, it's okay. You know, I get nervous sometimes after I volunteer. I'm like, what did I just do? You know, it's okay. It's
right.
it's just natural. Get up and do it. Like Brother Moore says, well, at least for me, I see it, Brother Moore. So if you see it, if I see it, well, guess what that means? It's on me.
It.
You know, I own it. And God wants us to go down this direction, brother. So I'm encouraging you too, you know. And like Brother Jay said, he wants to put the quarter on the counter. I'm going to do the same.
All
now,
right.
Whether or not it's going to be Wednesday or not, I don't know. The next open time that the brothers are available to speak. But I'm just knowing, I'm just letting you know that I'm willing. I'm a willing
there
vessel. So
amen.
When I say that, I mean it. And so, you know, I just listen, you know, to what the ministry is saying, and I just try and put a thought together. And it, you know, it will come together, you know. So it's just stepping out there and doing it, you know, and not think about, you know, what you're doing. Just lean on God. And I'm going to say that, you know, I had a dream the Wednesday night after I spoke. And God rebuked me, and he told me it was okay to use notes. It's okay. I might have got a little frustrated, but, you know, I wanted to. Well, he just said it was okay. And this dream that I had kind of let me know that, you know, just be me, you know. Mm-hmm. Each one of us, be yourself. And just speak from the heart. So that's what I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen, Brother Warren. Let me knock out these announcements real quick. Saturday night, we got the rodeo, don't forget. It's at 6. If you're meeting here, we're going to leave at 5. Then we got church pictures Sunday morning. Sister Renee's hosting a crochet class. That's at 6 p.m. Here. That'll be the next Sunday after that. And then we got the bonfire September 29th at Andrea and Caleb's. So I want to sing Praise Him, page 120 in the courses, and we'll get him up.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we love you. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. Does it cost us? Oh, it cost us, but not as much as it costs you. And you said we should take up our cross and follow you. And Lord, you also said you would never put more on us than we could bear. So, Lord, as we're standing here today, we're standing because, Lord, you wouldn't put more on us. And we're able to go through these trials and troubles. And Lord, the thing that we love the most of all is that we have an opportunity to serve you and to do what is pleasing in your sight. As we gather here this morning, this congregation waiting for you to speak to our hearts, ask you to move every hindrance aside, Lord, all of our thoughts, all of our thinking, the way we think it is, the way we think the word states, Lord, let us lay all that aside and let you come and speak to us today and break your word down to us in a way that you want us to have it revealed to us. For you're the only revealer of the word. And when we come here today, we don't come here knowing, we come here expecting you to speak to our hearts, expecting you to touch our bodies, expecting you to heal us and expecting you to answer our prayers, expecting you to supply all of our needs. Lord, we come expecting today. And Lord, I ask you to take these words that we have laid here and use it for your glory so that when we walk out of here today, that we can walk out more positive than we were when we walked in here, more determined than we've ever been. Thank you for the bride around the world, Lord. She's gathering at different points of the world, but looking to the same God that we're looking to this morning. Speak to us today. Touch those that are sick. All the requests that were brought forth this morning. And sometimes it seems like we don't take enough time to just pray and ask you to move in those behalf. But Lord, as we spoke those names this morning and the requests that were brought forth, ask you to move in those behalf. Those that weren't even spoken but still have a need, the Earlys and different ones, Trevor and Lord Jamie, down, they're just in need of you, Father, to touch their bodies. Those who've lost their loved ones, ask you to move in their behalf. Bren and the Wesley family in West Virginia, just ask you to touch. And Lord, we're grateful that we have an understanding and know that, Lord, we don't lose our loved ones, but we place them where we can meet them again. But until then, Father, comfort those hearts and help us to, Lord, look to you by your word, knowing that you said you would bring us together again. Have your way today, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be here with my friends. You know, Brother Branham would open up his service. A lot of times he'd say, good morning, friends. Because you're my friend. And it's good to be with you. You know, nobody understands me like you do. And I'm grateful that God has allowed us to be able to be together today. Now, just as far as the announcements are concerned, another one is that we will not be having Bible study tonight, giving you time now to be with your family for the holiday weekend. And, you know, it's a time. Take advantage of the time. You know, when you got it, take advantage of it. And God knows what he's doing. We could come tonight and we could have service and we'd enjoy it and we'd get blessed and everything else. But you know what? This is a time to just take a moment out and spend it with your family. A lot of you are off work tomorrow. So enjoy the time. And if you have kids, enjoy your children because they grow up too fast. Then they have their own family and their own kids and they can't come see you because they got to take care of their own family. So while you have your kids at home, enjoy that. It's every phase of your life. Get the best out of it. Don't go through life and not get something out of it. When I was a single guy, I enjoyed being single. When I was a married man and had a wife and no kids, I enjoyed that. Then we had kids and we enjoyed kids. Now I have grandkids. We enjoy those. It's like, you know, every phase of your life, there's no phase that you're going through that you should lament for some other area or some other phase. But knowing that it's only a short time in whatever phase you're in. If you didn't enjoy your little six-year-old, turn around twice, and you're walking them down the aisle. And then next you know, turn around, and you got your grands, and then you're old. So go when you can. I always tell people, go when you can, because you'll come to a place in your life that you won't feel like going. And a lot of people try to, and I'm not one much for going in debt. I am not. I really don't. But I do believe that if you handle your finances right, that you need to, while you're young, go and do the things you want to do. And I'm not saying going in debt over your head, over heels, and all that. I'm saying be reasonable. But, you know, take care of your family. Take the time. Be together. Brother Childers told me one time, and I think he might have told the whole congregation, if I'd done anything different over my lifetime, he said, I'd spent more time with my family. And so spend the time with your family while you have the time. Because before you know it, things change. Your kids are off to college or they're grown, and you know, and then it'll change. You'll have to change again. You adjust with every phase of your life, but enjoy every phase of your life so that you don't have to look back and regret, oh, I should have, I wish I could have, I should have gone, I could, no, just do it, you know. And, you know, God will bless you. He doesn't want you to sit here and be miserable. He wants you to enjoy life. He gave you life to enjoy it. He gave you eternal life to enjoy it. You know, so enjoy your life, enjoy your family, enjoy your time, and God will bless you. So, you know, that's my little advice to somebody who's been single, married, children, grandchildren. And whatever state the Bible says, yes, Brother Don, be content in that. Enjoy that. And let God have its way. It's good to be here. Oh, I, Brother Peterson, I got to have lunch with him Friday, and he's doing well. He's you know, he doesn't have anybody to talk to, so he and I talked on the phone the other day, and he said, we need to do lunch. I said, I'll come up. So I went up to London and spent some time with him. He so enjoyed it. He was, you know, it just tickled him. To us to be able to, that he could come and be free and talk and don't have to have a fight and fuss, because, you know, I'm not going to fuss and fight with you, and he's tired. He don't want to fuss and fight. He's 87 years old now. So, you know, so we got to spend some time together, and he told me he's coming. He said, well, I'm coming down to visit you on the 10th of September. I said, that's fine. I said, we're taking church picture. If you're here, you're going to just be in the picture. So I said, you know, you're more than welcome to come. And so he told me he's planning on coming down on September 10th. So it's with your announcements, we're going to keep that in mind. Well, that's only, a week away? Oh, that's next Sunday. So he'll be here next Sunday, Lord willing. And he didn't say he wasn't going to change his plans. I just told him we're taking pictures. So keep that in mind for your own self. Make sure you get here. Don't come late, because I may do the pictures. I've been doing the picture right up at the beginning, get the commotion out of the way, and then we can get to other things. So don't come to church late thinking, well, I'll just show up my normal time. Well, if your normal time is late, next Sunday, get here early enough, you know, so that if I do it right at 10, you'll be here. You come by 10:30, and you'll miss. Chances are, now, and you heard what I just said, and I didn't know I said until after I said it, said chances are, because more than likely we'll start it right at the beginning. But Brother Peterson said that he would be down to visit, and I got a chance to spend some time with him. I got a chance to talk to Brother Wesley. I called him yesterday after the loss of his sister. I thought I want to at least, you know, give him my condolences and talk to him. So I got to spend some time and talk to him on the phone. So keep their family in your prayers. If that's a sibling that they've lost, and that's hard. And I feel it for anybody who loses a sibling, and I've done it, and it's not an easy time. But, you know, God is still able, because we don't lose our loved ones. We place them. And so we want to keep those that places their loved ones in our prayers, because even though you can have all the revelation you want, you're still human. You still hurt. You still cry. You still miss. So, you know, and so you don't have to be stoic. You can be human. You know, God expects us to be human, because that's He made us that way. And so when you're going through things and you're suffering through something and you feel like, well, I've got the Word of God, I should be stronger than this. No, you got the Word of God, but you're still human. When you get bad news, it still shocks you and it still hurts. And I don't care how much words you have, there's still part of you that suffers when you suffer. And so I don't like phony Christians. It's an oxymoron, but I don't like phony Christians because, you know, they try to make it as though that, you know, there's no problems, there's nothing, all's well. It's no, it's there are problems, and we suffer through things, and we go through life, and sometimes we, if we're not careful, we'll set people up for failure because we'll try to put on this facade like everything is just so great. And they're doing the same thing you're doing, but they're suffering, but they're looking at you. And because you got this fake facade on, that they don't even feel like they can be honest about their own selves. That's why I say I've got a real church with real people with real problems. I don't try to hide it over the internet. If you're short, you're short. If I'm short, I'm short. I like people to know that we're a real group of people, and we're not trying to put on some phony church facade that I've seen over the years. And so be yourself, be real. If you want to cry, cry, you know. Don't have to apologize. If you feel like you need something, then reach out, get it. Be human, be real, and don't try to, and I don't even as a pastor try to make up this phony facade that I got it all right and I got everything perfect and y'all got messed up and y'all need to be like me. No, you don't need to be like me. You need to be like Jesus. You know, you be like him, because I'm pressing just like you are. And I struggle. I have problems just like you have problems. I don't know why people think that when they get saved, they don't have any problems. You're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Because, you know, we all have problems. But the thing is, what do you do with your problems? Take it to the Lord in prayer, you know. And it's okay to have a problem, but let somebody know, hey, this is how I got over. That's what testimony is all about. We testify because we want to tell somebody what I've been through and how God's blessed me to get through it. And this is how I made it, by the word of God. That's how I got over. That's not because I'm so mighty and so strong and so right and everything else. My goodness, it was the grace of God and the grace of God alone. After David slew that Goliath and they looked at David and they thought he was something great and something big, they was like, hey, that was the grace of God that rock went where it went. That wasn't my guidance. That was the hand of God. And in our lives, we go through things, and sometimes we have to suffer loss and suffer this and suffer that. But you know what? Through it all, trust in him, and he can make it. He can make a way where there doesn't seem no way. When you, only thing we've got is the word of God. We don't have no superpower. Only superpower is he himself. Amen. And that's all we got is the word. When you go through trouble, I point you to the word. When you have a fault, I point you to the word. When you have a need, I point you to the word. And whenever you have something going on in your life, I point you right to the word. Because everything we need is in the word of God. Everything. There's not one situation that we've ever run across in our lives that's not covered in the word of God. You say, well, they didn't talk about COVID. They don't have to talk about COVID. They can talk about everything else that God promised us, and that'll cover COVID too. So we don't live in fear. We live in the will of God, and we live in the promises that God has laid out for us. And the thing is, the word of God is the most important word you can get. Governor can promise you something and he won't come through. The church can promise you something and they won't come through. The country might promise you something and they won't come through. But if you can trust in the word of God, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is true to his promises. You don't have to sit there and be alone. You don't have to feel like you're all by yourself. You don't have to feel like nobody's known the troubles I've seen. Everybody's gone through something. You don't have to sit here and try to put on a facade. Be yourself. Be for real. God can't even help you till you're real. If you're sitting there and put on this fake, oh, I'm not hurting. Yeah, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
Be honest. Start out by being honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself, you're sure not going to be honest with me. And then you'll put on a fake front to me and try to make me believe something that I don't even believe. Because sometimes God will let you see things about people and they don't even think that you see it. So just be yourself. Be real. Be a common person. And God will bless you. Well, Let me get started. This is a holiday weekend. I don't want to take two services in one. So I better get this one going or y'all ain't going nowhere. I like to start over here. Turn with me over to the book of Leviticus. And we want to read a couple of verses here to get started. This is thought that I have. I got a chance on Thursday night. I went to Bluffton with Brother Jeremiah and Praveen. And that's Brother Covey's church. It's about an hour and a half away from here. So Thursday we got a chance to go and fellowship up there and go to hear their services. And actually got to hear the pastor. I had not heard him preach, and so he got to preach. He preached on Thursday night, and it was a good service. I really enjoyed myself, and I don't go and not take you just because I don't want you to go. I just go periodically because I just want to go back. Brother Covey comes here, him and Covey comes here, and you know, they just come in, take their shoes off, put their feet up on the bench in front of them, and make themselves at home. So I said, well, I think I'm going to do the same thing there. So I go and pull my shoes off and make myself at home there. So we go, and they have a very good church. I have nothing bad at all to say about. They have a blessed, precious congregation. And so at some time, maybe we'll get to take a trip up there. But I'm not going to do like we do some churches. We just take the whole group and just go in. You know, I'll make arrangements so we don't shock them, because you know Fairborn's a shocking group. Y'all go in and y'all come in and take over, and I don't, you know. So, but it was good to fellowship. This is about my third time, I think, going up. I think we've been up there about three times over the years, and there's good to be able to fellowship with them. So I got this thought from Thursday, actually, while he was preaching. This come to my mind, and I wanted to go over here and look at this, because I think it's important to understand what we're doing. I think it's important to understand how we're doing this thing, how this thing works. You know, this whole salvation thing, healing thing, church thing, how this thing works, because people don't know. They go to church and they look for God and don't know how to find God, or they come to church with a critical spirit and they sit there the whole time that they're here criticizing every move. There's people that'll tune in on our services, and they criticize the way we run our service. They criticize the singers in our service. They criticize the preacher in our service. They criticize. And you can do that, but you don't get nowhere. You got to have something that you can identify with. You got to have something. I mean, you say, well, I'm looking for the best church. You're never going to find the best church. Because if you find the best church, as that saying says, the moment you get inside the church, it's no longer going to be the best, because you're there. So we can criticize each other. We can criticize the way that we, you know, bring a message. You say, oh, Warren was kicking himself about reading his notes. Warren, I read more. I have notes every time I come here. That's not a down thing. The thing is, just don't let your notes get in the way of the Holy Ghost. All right. If you need notes to keep you, you know, they're like fence posts. They keep you sort of guided in the direction you want to go. But they aren't the road, you know. And so if you get up here with your notes, don't worry about it. Use your notes. And then when God says, lay them down and I got to say something else, don't get so stuck on your notes that you can't go with the Holy Ghost. Because that's what the Holy Ghost is here to do. It's not here about... I'm not here to teach you what I learned in my studies. I don't come here to teach you anything that I've learned in my studies. I come here to yield myself to God. I'll guide myself with my notes, but I'm not leaning on my notes. I ain't done a thing on that notes yet. Because I go by the Holy Ghost. When He lead and guides you, He's the one's got the service. It's not me trying to tell you something or do something to you. It's the Holy Ghost in this place. And He's not just in me. He's in you. And He might tell you to say something, you know. And if you don't do what He says to do, then that's between you and Him. I mean, He'll get you. That's like Brother Locke said that time God told him to get up and walk around church. And he didn't do it. And next thing you know, somebody else gets up. And then he got mad because he should have listened to God. And that's the thing is, God is in His people. And you need to know the voice of God.
Because when God's, he's not going to always talk to you through me. He'll talk to you through your own self. It ain't always going to be the sound of my voice. It'll be the sound of your voice. And so you need to be sensitive to the leadership of God's word so that when God tells you to do something, you'll do it. When God tells you to go, you'll go. When God tells you to stop, you'll stop. When he tells you to pick something up, you'll pick it up. When he tells you to lay something down, you'll lay it down. That's called walking with Christ. That's not walking with me. That's your own personal walk with Jesus Christ. And everybody in this place has got to have that. I don't care if you're young or you're old. You got to have an own personal walk with God. So you're leaning on him. You're waiting on him. You're looking to him. Brother Branham was a prophet of the hour. And he said, you know what I'm waiting on. You know what he was waiting on. He's waiting on him. Because without him, I can't do nothing. But through him, I can do all things. That's what his word says. Leviticus chapter 4. I want to read three verses here, starting at verse 27. This is in the time when God was dealing with Israel about sacrifices and offerings and doing things. And just to save time reading, I didn't want to read all the verses. Just jump down to where the thought that I'm trying to get to. Starting at verse 27. And if anyone of the common people sin through ignorance, while he does somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin, which he has sinned, come to his knowledge, then he shall bring in his offering a kid of goat, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I want to title this message this morning, Identifying with the Word. Identifying with the Word. Now, we go back here to the Old Testament because the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the New Testament. Everything you read in the Old Testament was just pointing us to Jesus Christ. And here in the Old Testament, after the fall in the garden, man had sinned, period. There was no man that could be worthy to even approach God. And God had to have something between man, his sin, and God. Otherwise God would have to kill. God does not deal with sin. He destroys sin. Amen. He puts away sin. He annihilates sin. Right. So in order for man to even exist, he had to have something between him and God. And because there was no sacrifice, God had to put a substitute plan in place. Now, a substitute is not the real thing. A substitute is something that you put in place instead of. So man's problem was that he sinned. All have sinned. We all have sinned. You can't sit here today and think you're better than the person next to you. Amen. You say, well, I didn't do this, but you did that. I didn't do this, but you did that. He that is guilty of the least is guilty of the whole. So nobody is exempt. Nobody is better than somebody else. Nobody has the right to be critical of anybody else. How are you going to be critical of your brother or your sister when you're just as nasty as they are? I guess I probably could have used a better word, but that's just how I feel about it. There's none of us good. There's none good but God. When that rich young ruler approached Jesus, he said, good man. Jesus said, there's none good. Why are you calling me good? Jesus said, I ain't good. And he wasn't even born in sin. But he was part of this cursed earth. So he's like, there's none good but God. So you fool yourself when you think you're better than somebody else. You fool yourself when you think you live better than somebody else. You fool yourself when you think because you don't do what Don does, that what Don does is wrong and what you do is right. What Don does is wrong and what you do is wrong. Sorry, Don. We're all in this thing together. We're in the same boat. That's why you can't sit in the house of God and think you're good. You think you're better than somebody else. You think you're further along than somebody else. You got closer relationship with God than somebody else. We're all in the same boat together. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all needed a sacrifice. None of us could approach God. None of us could do this. And God knew that. After the fall in the garden, God knew that man needed something. That's why he started out in Genesis by slaying that lamb. See, from the very beginning was the slain lamb. It was always the slayed lamb. When there was sin, in order for God to bypass your sin and let you breathe, he had to have something between you and them. And from the garden forward, he slayed a beast and he clothed them. But it was the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood is where the remission of sin was going to be. But here in the Old Testament in Leviticus, we had to have a substitute because Jesus hadn't come yet. And since Jesus hadn't come, we were still in sin just as bad as we ever were. But God made a way. And he said, if some man sins, if any man, he had a sacrifice for the high priest and they had to do their thing. But then he said, if the common man, that's you and me, just the normal people, not the high priest, but just the normal Joe that wakes up every day and go to work. Normal Joe that has an argument with his neighbor. The normal Joe that gets trouble and have problems and have shortcomings. No, no, you and I. I wanted to start here with the common people because I look at us as common people. We're the ones that have problems like everybody else has. It says if a common man comes and approaches you and he has sin, or if he doesn't, and you know what? God knew man would. Yeah. You could. He knew you would sin. Oh, yeah. He said if he comes and approaches you and if he has sin, yeah, he's going to have sin. Yeah. That's why we had to take the lamb. That's why he said, bring that kid of a goat. Dude, I had to look it up. Because see, I wasn't raised on a farm. I thought, why a kid? A kid of a goat. And I thought, well, what does that mean? I had to go look it up. I like looking stuff up because it helps me to understand what the Bible is even talking about. So let me just read to you what a kid is. Kids, goats under a year of age. So it was a goat under a year, and I thought about that. I said, why a year? That's why they had to bring a kid every year. Because it was only good for the year. And every year they had to bring another kid goat. Another kid goat. So it was under a year of age. They had to bring this goat, and it's usually slaughtered within 3 to 5 months of age. So it's a young, young thing. And I think, God, why would you do that? It had to take a sacrifice of a goat. And remember, in the Bible terms, a goat wasn't a good thing. It wasn't a sheep, it was a goat. But in this case, it was a good thing. Because this is what God required to cover, and I emphasize the word cover, to cover sin. He required a goat to cover man's sin. See, people try to cover their sin today with anything other than Jesus Christ. You can't cover your sin today. It must be removed. But until Calvary, man had to have his sin covered. And so every year, they would bring this kid in, and this kid goat would have to be sacrificed because of man's sin. And when man had sinned, and he brought this kid goat in, the thing that was required of him to do was, number one, it had to be a kid goat, and number two, he had to lay that goat on the altar. And that man had to help. He had to play a part. He had to do something. That's what I love about it. It's you got something to do. God always requires us to do something to get something. Even though it wasn't us giving the sacrifice, it wasn't our life that had to be given, but we had to identify with the life that was given on our behalf. It wasn't just buy a goat and send it down to the high priest. You had to raise it. You had to get it. You had to put it up. You had to clean it up. You had to check it over. Make sure there was no spots and no blemishes on that thing. You had to get the thing prepared. Then you had to bring it yourself. Nobody can come to church for you. You say, well, I'll send my husband, or I'll send my wife, or I'll send the kids to Sunday school. You got to come yourself. Amen. It's about you. It's about him. It's an individual love affair between you and Jesus Christ. And nobody can take it from you, and nobody can give it to you. Amen. You got to do this thing because you want to. Everybody didn't bring goats. So everybody didn't sacrifice. Everybody didn't go to church. Everybody didn't do what they needed to do. And they didn't get the sacrifice covered. And here what was required. God, he required us to identify with that goat. He required us to lay our hands on that goat. To identify that this represents me. This represents my sin. This represents my shortcoming. You have to identify with your sacrifice. Amen. You can't get a hold of God without identifying with your sacrifice. You're not going to serve God from home. You're not going to serve God out there in the world. You're not going to serve God being in the world and of the world. You're going to have to identify with what you have.
Amen.
It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you something. People want to have God without paying the price. Well, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your house. It's going to cost you your friends. It's going to cost you even your own self. He said, if you don't deny your father, your mother, even your own self, you got to lay all that down. Dying is what you got to do. You got to lay all that down, and you got to take the word of God and identify with the word of God over top of everybody else. They'll say, I don't believe it. You know what? That's okay. I do. I don't like it. That's okay. I do. I don't want no part to do with it. That's okay. I do. So see, the thing is, even in the time of Leviticus, when they had to have their sin covered till Calvary, they still were required to identify with their sacrifice. That didn't just start at Calvary. That didn't just start with Jesus. That started from the very beginning, because none of us was worthy. There aren't no good people. There are no good saints. You say, well, wait a minute, we're saints. There are no good saints.
Well, amen.
Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Every last one of us comes short.
Right.
You think you're doing pretty good? Still short. You think you don't sin? All have sinned.
Amen.
That's why we needed Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You needed something outside of yourself. You say, well, I'll wait till I'm 21. By the time you get to 21, it's already too late. Serve God while you're young, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation, the payment, through faith in his blood. We have faith in what that blood was going to do for us. Do you realize in Leviticus, They had faith that that blood was going to cover them. They had, but they had to identify. You don't just send your old goat down to the temple. You had to go there yourself. That's why you got to come to church. Don't just send somebody else. You got to come to church. You got to serve God. You got to identify with it for yourself. You can't just come and say, well, I don't know. It's good enough for you, but it's not good enough for me. You got to identify with it for yourself, because this is about you and your relationship with Jesus Christ, you and you alone. You got to lay your hand on that sacrifice. I can't even do that for you. I'd love to be, if I could do that for you, I'd do it, but I can't do it for you. It's an individual walk, individual affair. You got to have God for yourself. You got to know God for yourself. You got to stand up for this thing for yourself. You say, well, our young people are starting to identify. Good. Right. They have to. Right. They need to. Right. I'm not trying to say stay under your daddy and your mama's belt, under their wings. Well, as soon as you understand this word, you identify with it. As soon as you realize that Jesus Christ died for your sins, lay your hand on that sacrifice. As soon as you realize that he did this for me, I want to turn around and give my life back to him, you do it. Right. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Tomorrow's not promised. All of sin. Yeah, you sin at 10. Amen. Sin at 6. Sure. Sin at 2. I know that. You sin at 3 months. Sure. When you come in the world, you come here wrong. Amen. Full of sin. Shaped in iniquity. Come here. Speaking lies. So you never have to wait and say, well, I'm going to wait until. No, no, no. As soon as you realize it, you need to identify with something. You need to find out what the Word of God is calling for. You need to find out what the Word of God is saying about you, because you as an individual need to identify with the Word of God. Amen. Say, ah, well, don't wait. Brother Branham said, you know, God looked down and declared, the soul that sins, it shall die. It's separated from me. It can't approach unto me. We know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That meant that all died. All were separated. And the day and time would come when even that bit of life would be snuffed out. And it'll be all over. But God in love took an animal and took its life in the place of a sinner's life. In the Old Testament, the sinner brought a lamb. He placed his hand on the lamb while the priest cut the lamb's throat. He felt the bleeding and heard the bleeding. He felt the blood. He felt the body stiffen in death. He saw the smoke that sprinkled the blood of as a sin to God. He knew that the lamb had taken his place. He knew that the lamb's life had been forfeited for his. But the life of the lamb was an animal, and it could not come back upon the sinner, making him clean. So he left with the same desire to sin. He would go out with sin in his mind and come back and offer a sacrifice for the same thing a year later. But in the New Testament, it is not so. Our dying lamb is the Son of God, who gave his blood a ransom for many. By faith, we walk up and place our hands upon that lamb. We see him with the bloody wounds, the lancered back, the lacerated back, the cruel thorns tearing his brows. We feel the pain. We hear him cry, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And what happened? The life that left that broken blood cell came back upon the repentant one. The life that was in him came back upon us. We go back with no more desire to sin. And we now possess a hatred for the works and the lust of the flesh. That's what happens to a believer. People always think, you know what? They try to make this facade that when you come to Christ, that you don't no more have a desire for sin. Well, that's true, but it's not. Depends on what you're talking about. See, the honest people realize that I love God. The honest people realize, look, the only part of me that love God is my soul. Right. My spirit realm, is just as rotten as it was the day I was born. My flesh is just as nasty as it was the day I was born. The only part of me that doesn't want nothing to do with the world and the sin world order is my soul. That's all. Don't fool yourself. People, they lie. They try to make you feel like once you come to Christ, all your sins are gone, all your problems are over. The world, you won't have no lust for the world. You won't have no pull for the world, no this or that. Depends on what you're talking about. When I was born again, it took away all the world lust out of me altogether. Right. And all the desire is gone for the world. Right. All I want to do is please God. All I want to do is serve God. All I want to do is do the will of God. I am perfect. Right. Amen. I'm as perfect as I ever will be. Right. Because it's God. Right. But I'm talking about my soul. I'm talking about when the blood of the Lamb was slain. It took care of that whole worldly desire. You know, there was a time in my life that when I was a young man and was not born again, that I didn't care about God. I didn't care on the spirit realm. I didn't care on the flesh. And I didn't care on the soul. I loved the world. I had the lust of the world on my soul. I was part of the world. I loved it. I believed in it. And I lived for it. And I didn't even care if I lived or died. My soul didn't. It really didn't. Because if my soul really cared, it wouldn't have done some of the crazy things it did. But because it didn't care about God and the lust of the world was on me, I did all the things that the rest of the world does. And had no regards to God. But then one day, when I was born again, one day when I heard the word of God, one day when the word of God told me that Jesus Christ was the only propitiation for my sin, that I believed that. And I said it was the truth. Amen. And I identified with it. And I laid my hand on that sacrifice and said, that was for me. Right. Oh, when that happened, something happened. Amen. See, I'm not just in church to be in church. I'm not just in the building. I've been born again. Yes. All the desires of the world are gone. Oh, my. When that old soul died, it took all the lust of the world with it. Amen. And you said, well, you're not perfect. Yes, I am. I'm as perfect as I'll ever be. Amen. You said, well, I've seen you with problems. I've seen you. You know what? True justification, that you never did do it in the first place. Amen. I never sinned. Amen. I have never sinned. Amen. Can you say that? I have never sinned. Amen. Only the born-again believer can say that. Because all other people have sinned. Yes. If you're not born again, you're still born in sin. Yes. You can't say that. But he that is born of God cannot sin. Because the seed of God remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. But you got to be born again to get that. You got to identify with something outside of yourself to get that. You got to get the word of God in there somewhere. It's got to be God dealing with you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when you are born again, the only part of you that is perfect is your soul. The only part of you that loves God is your soul. The only part of you that's going to a new body is your soul. Your spirit is not going and your flesh is not going. That's why you can still have a nasty spirit and you can still have a nasty flesh and be born again. See, if you're not born again, you don't know how that works. Only the born again believer can understand. I can be good as gold and be nasty as sin. Only somebody who's been born again can read Romans 7 and understand how that reads. Amen. That I would do, I don't do. That I don't do, I find myself doing. Who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Not my soul, because the soul's already taken care of. My soul doesn't sin. My body still sins. Oh, I know y'all don't. Your spirit still get nasty. Still get upset. Still wants its own way. Still remember how it was. Still have an affection for the world. Do you know your flesh and your spirit still pulls to the world? See, that's the lie that church world is getting people to think. They think when you're born again, you have no more pull to the world. You only have that on one rim. Your flesh still pulls to the world. Your spirit still pulls to the world. And you have to identify with the word to overcome that. But if you're not born again, you don't understand the difference between the battle between the soul and the spirit and the flesh. You won't understand that. Because if your soul and spirit and flesh are all sinful, then y'all in agreement. Y'all sing harmony together. But when you're born again, that soul loves only God. It doesn't want nothing to do with the world. It has no more taste for the world at all. All it wants is the will and the word of God. That's all the soul wants. It only has, Brother Brown says, one inlet. That's the inlet for the revelation of the word of God. That's all it does. Receive the word. Receive the word. Receive the word. You come to church, get word. Come to church, get word. It doesn't make you happier doing anything other than just coming here and hearing the word of God. You are never so happy as when the word of God comes forth. That's a believer. That's somebody who's been born again. That's somebody who's got a new nature. That's somebody that's identified with our sacrifice. Right. Hebrews chapter 9. Just to jump down a little bit, you can read the whole chapter. It's all good. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into that holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. Not just redemption. He didn't just come up with this. It's always been his plan. Always part of him. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the puring of the flesh, how much more? See, that's what that sacrifice did in the Old Testament. It covered his flesh. That's all it did. It covered, it gave him a purification of the flesh. Oh, they went out and did something. And they come and sacrifice that goat. So their flesh was pured for a year. But then in a year, they had to come back and do it again. That's all it did. Didn't help the soul at all. It never was for the soul. That sacrifice of the Old Testament never even touched the soul.
That's right.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your consciousness from dead works to serve a living God? Do you realize that when you are born again, that you have no more consciousness of sin on your soul? I'm not talking about your memory, because you know what? My memory still works well. It goes way back. I remember when. I can reason. I have love for things that I shouldn't have love for. I have affection for things I shouldn't have affection for. That's the spirit realm, let alone the flesh. You say, my flesh doesn't desire nothing. Go buy your favorite restaurant. See what your flesh does. Yeah, like certain taste. Like certain things. That's your flesh. You say, well, my flesh is subject to God. No, it's not. You got to call to that thing constantly. I have to call to mind constantly. It's like raising kids. You don't just tell your kid one time, Johnny, stop that. And Johnny says, you know what, Mama? You are correct. I'll never do that again. I caught Michael running through the church one day, grabbed him up in the back, said, Michael, you don't run in the house of God. Oh, I'm so sorry, Daddy. I promise I'll never do that again. And me being the loving father that I am, I said, okay, Michael, thank you. Set him down. He ran from that door back all the way up. I'm like, I just told him. But kids, you have to constantly remind them. Your flesh has to constantly be called to. Kids have to constantly be called to. Constantly. It never gets to a place where you say, well, No. Call to your kids all the time. Spirit realm? That's your wife. She is as wishy-washy. She loves her husband. And she loves her kids. And one minute she's with the man. Till he starts calling to the kids. And I'm, whoa, hubby. Whoa, husband. You know, oh, the kids, you know, don't be so tough. Don't be, see, she's like, I thought you were with me. And we were just in the other room and we decided. And you come out here and you done changed up. That's your spirit realm. It'll go with God or it'll go with the world. You can remember things that God told you and you can remember things the devil tells you. You can reason with God. You can reason with the devil. That's that spirit realm. But a born-again believer, that's why you got those three realms defined. A born-again believer only, once he's born again, can only accept the word of God. I can't take a substitute. I can't believe anything else. All I want is to know what God wants. All I want is the revealed word of God. God, reveal yourself. That's the soul for you. That's what makes us act weird like we do. That's why we come to church, we love the word, we go home, we fight. We come to church, we love the word. I mean, I don't have no problem when everybody in here just loving the word. When the words come from everybody in here saying amen, it's like, you know, you love this thing. This because you've got a born-again believer in your midst and you're talking the word of God and you love that. But as soon as you walk out that door, your flesh said, man, what if they're finished with breakfast at McDonald's? Your spirit says, I'm still mad at my spouse. I'm not talking to him. I'm not going to. No, you just got out of church. You just got finished agreeing with the word of God. It shows you that you can love the word of God, be true to the word of God, be born again, and still have problems. That's why Brother Branham said that he takes care of your past, your present, and future sins. How can he take care of your future sins? Because he knew you were going to do it again. And for this cause, he is a mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We get an eternal inheritance, not because of our flesh and our spirit, but because we've identified with the word of God. We have been born again. We're part of God. We come from God. We're going to God. Problems or no? People think you're going to come here and you lose all your problems. You don't even begin to have a problem until you get born again. There's not even a fight until you're born again. When you're not born again, your flesh, spirit, and the soul will do anything and say anything and lie, cheat, steal. But when you're born again, you still might lie, cheat, and steal. But you know what? There's going to be somebody on board. And he's going to say, you shouldn't do that. Shouldn't be cheating like that. You shouldn't be lying like that. And you can't get away from him because everywhere you go, he goes. Every time you do the dirt, God's right in there telling you, don't do that. That's the difference between us and the world. They'll steal and rob and cheat and kill, and they'll do that. No guards, no regards at all. But a believer, it bothers them. They wrestle with it. When they walk out of church and they say, I ain't never going back, they go home, and because they're born again, they're home thinking, wonder what they're doing at church. Wonder what the message is. They might get on the internet. Just turn on just a little bit. See, they're not satisfied with just going away. If you're not born again, you can walk away from the word of God and it doesn't even bother you. Because you're not born again. Your soul doesn't love the word. Your spirit doesn't love the word, and neither does your flesh. Sleeping in on Sunday morning is a good thing. But if you're born again, it'll bother you. There should be something that bothers you. When you're identified with the word of God, there should be something that gets your attention. If you do sin, we have an advocate. We have somebody who said, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. Lord, help me to do a better job. Even when I mess up, I'm saying, while I'm doing it, I'm saying, Lord, help me to do a better job. Help me to be a better boy. Help me to do Father. I can do more. I'm identifying with the word of God. Lord, I want to be more like you. That's a believer for you. That's what a real Christian does. It's not that you do everything right, but you repent because you know that you want to be more like him. And there's a part of you that come from God, a part of you that is God, and that part of you will match the word every time. And if that doesn't happen, then you're not even born again. If you don't have an inside teacher that talks to you all the time, then you're not even born again. You say, I go to church. I don't care how much you go to church. You say, I do a lot of good things. I don't care how much good you do. If you don't have something talking to you all the time, when you do right, it's talking to you. When you do wrong, it's talking to you. Why? You've identified. You laid your hand on that sacrifice and said, Jesus, you died for me. And he come down and quickened that nature in you. And that nature is a living being. And it's in you living with every move you make. That's all you got. Everything else is temporary. That spirit is temporary. That flesh is temporary. But there's a part of you that's eternal that comes from God. And that thing will talk to you all the days of your life. He said, don't talk to me, then get born again. So God never talks to me, then get born again. You know how God talks to you? He talks to you by his word. When you hear the word of God, and that God is living in you, and he identifies and reveals that word to you, when you make a move, that revelation starts talking to you. People say, well, I heard some testimonies that helped me last week. Who was that? That was that God in you, reminding you of his word. Because we're testifying of the word of God, and when the word gets testified of, we talk about it, and God quickens it, and we get that thing when it uses it. So see, you've got to identify somewhere with something. You say, well, I got a lax life. You know why? Because you never really pushed past what your flesh, your spirit wanted to do. You can be as lax as you want. Bible tells me whom you yield your members to. His servants you are. That don't mean he owns you. That just means you work for him. Because if you're born again, you can be a born again believer and work for Satan. You hear that? To whom you yield your members to. If you yield your members to unrighteousness, then you'll be unrighteous. If you yield your members to righteousness, then you will be righteous. So even though you're born again, you can still sit here, but there'll be a fight. There'll be a fight. If there's no fight in you, then I would question your birth.
Right.
If there's no change in you, I would question your birth. I'm not saying you're going to get it all right. I'm saying you're going to be changing constantly. You're going to be laying things down as God deals with you, because he's going to deal with you. See, God's not going to deal with you from out here. God's going to deal with you from within. A dove is cleansed from the inside out. Do you realize that? Those other birds go into bird baths and they splash around and they try to clean their feathers, but a dove ain't that way. A dove has got an oil that comes out of it, and it cleanses it from the inside out. It's part of him. A believer is cleansed from the inside up. Oh, when you first get born again, you're going to have all kind of dirt on you. You have all kind of problems, shortcomings, and everything else. And I'm not even worried about that. Just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Let the word come in there. And the word, when the word gets in you, I watch you change. And you things you used to do, you find, you know, I don't have a taste for that now. Those people used to hang around. It's like, you know what? They don't talk about the word enough. I think I'm going to spend more time with my brothers and sisters in the body, because You know, it means more to me to hear the word of God than it means to hear about the baseball totals. It means more to me to find out about what God's saying than to tell me what the latest tactics are or what the latest government spendings are. And it's like, that stuff's okay, but I want more of this. I want more God, because I found out that every time I come to the house of God, when the word of God is preached, it does something to me. And when I walk out of the door, I'm better off than when I walked in the door. And when I walk out, I'm more stronger than I've ever been. I feel like I can do this now. Amen. That's what you should feel every service. When we walk out of here, we should feel just like coming out of a locker room, halftime at a game. When that coach gets there and he starts coaching you and telling you how you can come back, you're behind the score, but you can do this. Oh, you come out, you bust out of, you don't see them coming out of the locker room after halftime like this. No, you know what happens? They bust those doors open. They run out there. Where's the enemy at? When we come out of the church, every service, you should feel that way. You feel stronger when you leave than when you got here. If you feel weaker when you leave than when you got here, you missed something. Or God's not there. Oh, I've been to church and I walk out weaker than I was when I got there. You go in there, you're all pumped up. You think, praise God, we're going to get us a good meal. And you go in there and they start, Rabbi Jones start talking about something. And next thing you know, he's got you down and down and down. You feel like you've been at a funeral. And you walk out of that door and you're like, man, I don't know if I got enough. That's the way they make you feel. But every time you come where God is, Jesus never left people feeling like that way. He always told them who he was. He always told them who they were. He always gave them hope. He always gave them a promise. And he left them feeling better than when they left him. When he was on the mountain in his ascension, last thing he told them, go to Jerusalem. Gave him a point to point them in the right direction. You're going to be endued with power from on high. They didn't leave depressed. They was like, oh, let's get there. And when we come to the house of God, because we've identified, because see, you got to identify with your sacrifice. You can't be a Christian and not identify with Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about laying your hand on that sacrifice. Because he died that you might live. And now it's not my life that lives. It's no longer I. But it's Christ that liveth in me. It's he that gets me up. It's he that moves. And he's he that has his very being in me. Now I'm walking around here knowing who I am. Because I know my sins have been forgiven. I know I'm a son of God. I know God's got it all taken care of. And I'm not trying to put on some phony. Yeah, you're going to have problems. Yeah, you're going to have shortcomings. Yeah, you're going to have this, then that going to happen to you. But you got to understand that your soul is perfect. It has no desire for the world at all. And it has nothing to do with the world. That's a pull in your flesh and your spirit. That's all. That's all. You say, I can't. It's just the pull. Realize it's the devil. And sometimes it ain't in the devil. Sometimes it's just you and your spirit realm. Sometimes it's you and your flesh. Devil don't make me go to McDonald's. It's because you want to go. I mean, we almost feel like we're robots. We're not robots. You're a free moral agent. God ain't making you do nothing, and the devil ain't making you do nothing. You do it because you choose to do what you choose to do. If you serve God because you lay your hand on that sacrifice and you decide this is what you want to do. If you're coming to this church because you have to, you're in the wrong place. I don't want has to in here. I want people who want to be here because they want to be here. I want people to come and lay their hand on that sacrifice. I want to realize that Jesus Christ, you died for my sin. Your blood was spread, laid out for me. You gave the stripes that I can be healed. You've done all these things for me, not for us, for me. See, this is individual. He didn't do this for everybody. Who in here did he do it for? Every hand should have gone up. Don't look down the road with your mom and daddy. Don't look across the way for your spouse. You got to do this for yourself. How many did Jesus die for in here? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. You got to know that for yourself. And not be ashamed. Do you think they were ashamed to lay their hand on that sacrifice? Oh, no. Oh, no. This goat, oh, he's going to take care of me. He took care of my sins. He's going to do this. This kid's going to do this for me. And Jesus Christ was even greater than that, because when he paid the price, he paid once and for all. Right. And I'm not ashamed, as Paul said, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. I identify with my sacrifice. You got to do it. Be thankful what God's done for you. Let somebody know what he's done for you. Why are you going to sit with your head hung down when God has paid everything for you now? And he's done it. He's been the greatest sacrifice that we can get. Didn't leave anything for me to do. He said, well, you got to live. You don't have to live nothing. Do you realize your good living is not even on the soul? Do you know your bad living is not even on the soul? That's why Brother Tudor's going to say, I can't live good enough to make it and can't live bad enough to miss it, because it has nothing to do with the flesh and the spirit realm at all. It has to do with understanding the Word of God, being born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, identifying with what he's done for me. Because you can't do it yourself. You got to identify with him. You got to lay your hand on that sacrifice. I am not ashamed of what Jesus Christ did for me. He died for me. He rose for me. He came back for me. He promised he was going to do these things for me. And then he came and made sure he quickened it in my heart.
Oh, yes.
All done by him.
Amen.
Not by me at all. Oh, my. Didn't leave me trying to guess a thing. All right. Matthew 26. Here's a case. There were people that was ashamed of the sacrifice. Here's a case they didn't know. They didn't know what to do with this man, this Jesus called Christ. And there was a woman, a bad woman. They didn't like her. She's a prostitute. A sinner. And the whole town knew it. It wasn't something done in a back corner. The whole town knew she was bad. But Jesus come. He come to the house and they didn't greet him. Come to the house, they didn't wash his feet. They didn't come. They come to the house and didn't give him the best seat. Just threw him in a corner somewhere. House was packed. Bunch of church people. Bunch of people who were critical. Didn't know God when they saw him. Couldn't recognize God right in their midst. But were the biggest critics there were. Criticizing everything that was done. But there was one woman. She was the worst of worst.
Amen.
But you know what? She wasn't ashamed of Jesus Christ. She wasn't ashamed of Jesus. When the rest of the world said they didn't want nothing to do with it, she wasn't ashamed to identify with him. When the rest of the house was looking good and she looked bad. But she forgot about herself. She forgot about her past. She forgot about all the problems and troubles that she had. She forgot about how bad she was. She realized there was somebody in her presence that she could identify with. If I could just identify with him, all of my problems won't mean a thing. If I could just identify with somebody who could pay that price. As bad as I am, as awful as I am, I want to identify with him. She walked in there with an Alabama box of oil. And she got the wrong way. All she had was her prostitute money. When you come with what you got. Just as I am. Don't come trying to put on. Don't come trying to convince. Do you know you don't convince the bride that you are part of the bride? By your long-winded testimonies, don't turn me on. By your words, multitudes of words, the Bible says the fool is known.
Right.
Amen. Yep. Saying a bunch of stuff don't mean nothing to the bride of Jesus Christ. She knows.
Right.
She knows. She knows when it's coming from him, and she knows when it's coming from you. And here she was coming in there, the worst of the worst.
Right.
Oh, she had an awful life. No doubt as a prostitute, she probably partied, drank, ran around, cussed with the worst of them, laid with the best of them, did it all. Good at what she did. She had money. She made a living. Bought the best oil that she could find. Oh, she didn't get something cheap. She brought the best she had. That's somebody who loves God. She gave him the best she had, even though she come about it the wrong way.
Right.
It doesn't matter how you get there, just get there.
Right.
Jacob and Esau, I don't care how smart Esau was, how wise he was, how educated he was, how much of a man's man he was, and how little bitty sissy boy Jacob was, when it come down to the birthright, it didn't matter what it cost. He was going to pay the price because he needed to have that birthright. And here she was. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, now here comes the critics. These are his disciples. These are his friends. And when the disciples saw it, they had indignation. What is she doing here? That's what people think when I come to church. What is he? You still going to Fairborn? What is he doing there? Yeah, I'm still going to Fairborn. They had indignation because that woman, that awful woman, came in there to their Lord. And these are the disciples. These are the ones that he's been preaching to. These are the ones that have been sitting with him. These are the ones he's been talking to. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. They ain't heard a word he said. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Why is she wasting that precious, precious oil like that? They had no revelation, carnal as it could be. People come right in amongst us, and they look around the church, and they see this. They see that. They see earrings. They see cut here. They see this. And I can name it. I can go down the list. I know what they look for when they come. I know what they see when they come, Jeremiah. I know the list. I know how they judge. I know how they get their indignation. I know how it rises up. Oh, that person's got on lipstick. That person's got this. Oh, that guy came. Did you see what he was wearing? They were just beside themselves, saying, what's the purpose of this? Is this this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for so much, for much more, and given to the poor. Now they were looking around for somebody to do works, good works, what they define as good works. Because they define good works as helping the poor. They define the good. See, people have all kinds of definitions of good works are. And here she was doing exactly what God wanted her to do. But they wanted her to do some works. Clean up your life. Change this. Drop that. Pick this up. Do this. Speak in tongues. Clean your life. They had all these works that they thought, you're wasting God's money on this ointment when you should be out doing good works for the poor. You know, Jesus said the poor will have with you always. I don't care how many bake sales you have. I don't care how much money you collect. I don't care how much food at the food banks you give. You're never going to get rid of the poor. Because Jesus said you ain't going to do it. And that's the very thing the church world's trying to do. Oh, we have to have a drive. Oh, we have to have a food. We have to have a meal at our church every Saturday so we can feed the poor and bring them. That's all nice. That's all dandy. That's good. But that ain't the ointment. That ain't what he's looking for. Oh, they're giving all these things. That's all fine and dandy. But you know what? When you give all that up, you're still going to have poor. When you give all the, you know what? We can't get enough home for all the immigrants that are coming to this country. You'll never find enough places. You'll never get everybody housed. Everybody, oh, we got to do this. Churches need to get together. We need to do this. We need to bring all these people in this country. And we need to. No. They ain't going to solve it. Just get a bottle of oil. Get an alabaster box. Fill it with the richest oil. And take and do with it what God wants you to do. I'd rather do what God wants than what man wants. Men wanted her to sell that oil and give it to the poor. God said, I don't want to feed the poor. I want to pour it out on my feet. When Jesus understood this, he said unto them, why trouble you the woman? Leave her alone. People come to church to be better. Why are you going to pick with them? Why do you got to pick with Fairmore? We're just doing our thing. You're just a devil. I'm not chasing you down. I'm not talking about you. I'm not giving you a time of day. Matter of fact, I don't even think about you. But you spend all your waking hours trying to figure out how to trip us up. How to find fault. That woman, they didn't say nothing about her being a prostitute. They were mad about that because they knew her. They were mad because she wasted that money on oil and poured it on his feet. So carnal. Jesus said, leave her alone. Leave us alone. Amen. That's what I have to say to all the critics of Fairmont Community Tabernacle. Leave us alone. Amen. We ain't bothering you. I may have got here by a hook or by a crook. I may have got here like a Jacob. I may have got here like the woman at the prostitute. She got what she got because she probably talked to the woman at the well. Jesus can fix it for you. Amen. You might be a prostitute. I had six husbands. Jesus can fix it for you. All you got to do is fight. Jesus can fix it for you. They don't want to know that. They don't want to know how God's helping this congregation. They don't want to know how you're turned on by the word of God. They're uninterested in that. All they want to do is find dirt, find problems, find shortcomings. You devil, you.
Amen.
Leave her alone. Leave Fairborn alone. Can't say nothing good, don't say nothing. Why trouble you this woman? For she have wrought a good work upon me. Wait a minute, Jesus. You're talking about a prostitute. You're talking about she bought that with her prostitute money. And you're saying she's doing a good work? This woman wanted to identify. See, it was important to identify. She had got a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you. Don't worry about feeding the poor. We want to start churches all over the world. We want to do this. We want to do that. I get all these letters and all this stuff about how many souls are saved. And this and the other. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, but, you know, she's doing a good work. She's identifying with God. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. She had more of a revelation than Simon did. She had more revelation than the apostles did, than all of his disciples. This prostitute had a bigger revelation than anybody in the house. And they're judging her, and they're talking about her, and they're making fun of her. And he said, hey, you don't even know why she did this. You don't know the word of God. You don't know that she's doing this. She's anointing me for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world. See, this is prophecy about today's service. There shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Wow. Here she was, had more revelation than anybody in the house. Now they were high priests. They were clean livers. They were good people. Their family was good. Their parents was good. Their grandparents was good. As far as you can reach back in their lineage was good. And here she was switching in there. Smelling all good. Because you know she probably had a little ointment. It smelled good. So she was smelling that like that oil when she walked in the room. They're like, woo. But they knew who she was. But they were critical of her. But she wanted to identify. So you got to identify with something. You will identify with something. I'd rather identify with the word like she did than all those disciples who was identifying with the poor. She identified with Jesus and didn't matter what anybody else thought. See, when you get ready to identify with him, you got to forget everybody. You got to forget about what anybody thinks, what anybody said. If I depended on what people thought about me, whether I was going to serve God or not, I would have quit serving God 35 years ago. If not 40. But you got to get to a place where you're saying, you know what? That's my sacrifice. This is about him and me. This is about him and me. You say, well, you look funny. Doesn't matter. They don't understand you. Doesn't matter. They won't care about you. That don't matter. But they'll walk away from you. That doesn't matter. You got to identify somewhere. And you will identify somewhere. If you're not for me, you're against me. So you're going to identify either for me or against me. One or the other. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to read this whole thing. I'll read the short. I'll skip it. Well, maybe I'll just read a little bit of it. This is the presence of God unrecognized. Oh, man. I'll start reading at the top here. It goes a little bit. Apologize for the reading, but sometimes I can't say it like Brother Branham can. You know, I like to hear his words. But there that little woman seen here, he needed service. And she rushed in quickly, went and got an alabaster box full of oil. Probably had bought it with the money from her prostitution. But what was it? She might have thought, he's a prophet, but I remember a woman in my fix. Another character like mine. She had an opportunity. She had recognized him, and she was forgotten. She was forgiven. Up there at the well in Sychar. Last night we talked about it. And if I could only get to him, I know who he is. I'll do him a service. If the rest of them, I don't care what they do, I'll do him a service. I'll recognize he's the Son of God. She ran in. She got real close to him. And she felt so guilty. That's the way a real penitent sinner feels in his presence. Guilty. That's why we come in here. We come and feel guilty. Lord, I need help. And the tears began to fall. And she was trying to hide them. They dropped on his feet. She was going to anoint him, but the tears dropping on his feet, and she began to wipe them. And crying and wiping them with her hands. And his feet was all getting mushed up with the dirt that was on it. And if you want to really believe it, with the stink of the animals of the trail. Everyone walked the same trail. And there it was, the stink on him. See there? Her tears were dropping on his feet. And she was trying to wipe them off. And she had no towel. See, he's talking about, brother, he's talking here about the woman's hair. He says, what is a woman's beauty and honor? Is her hair. That's the reason many of you women today cut it off. That's wrong. She took her hair and began to wash his feet and wipe her pretty hair, taking the stink off of him upon herself, bearing his reproach. Do you realize that was a reproach? What was happening in front of all of those high priests and all of those churchgoers and all of those elders, there was a reproach. Jesus was sitting there. He was bearing her reproach, and she was bearing his. Because not only were they criticizing her, they were criticizing him. Do you know when people criticize you, they're criticizing Christ? She was bearing his reproach. Oh, my. That's when you recognize who's in your presence, see? Our sisters would have almost to stand on their head to get enough hair to do that. See, she washed his feet and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet. As Brother Brown said, they cut their hair and they don't have enough to cut. They couldn't even do this. And that old Simon standing back there said, oh, I can just see him blow up. See, Simon was, he was trying to take care of his house because he had a party. You know, have you ever hosted a party and you're trying to be a good host and things are going wrong? You ever had that happen, Jay? I still remind Jay of it today, that football, that it was the Super Bowl party of Jay. And we're down in the basement trying to watch it on the TV screen, and I don't know what went wrong, but it didn't go right. Well, when you're a host, you take that personal. And especially since I still remind Jay of it all the time. We were watching a commercial the other day, and I reminded him of it. But when you're a host, you're trying to take care of everything. And Simon was insulted. He was embarrassed because of what was happening in his house. And old Simon standing back there said, oh, I can just see him blow up. And he didn't recognize who he was. Said, I told you he wasn't a prophet. If he was a prophet, he would recognize what kind of woman that's around him. See, what they do is they take one thing and they started adding things on it. Now he's going to call him a false prophet because he thought he didn't recognize who she was. Oh, he could have told her address. He could have told her who her last customer was. He could have told her how much she paid for the oil. Jesus never moved a foot. He just washed her, and she was scared. Then after he got through, she was doing him a service to him. He looked over and said, Simon, I got something to say to you. You invited me here. You brought me here. In other words, a trump up his sleeve. In other words, Brother Branham was saying that Jesus had a trump up his sleeve. That means he got a card he's going to play. Yeah. That he was just holding off. You know, when you're a good card player, you hold off to the end. Yeah. So he had a trump up his sleeve. You wanted to show me off. You wanted to prove that I wasn't who I am. And you, when you brought me here, you should have had my feet washed, but you never. You should give me oil to anoint my head, but you didn't. You never kissed me welcome. And this woman, ever since I've been here, has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and constantly has kissed my feet since I've been here. I have something against you, Simon. Then he turned to her. I can just imagine seeing her standing there and her big, pretty eyes all stained up and her face and where she was greased up and dust off the road on her face. And she thinking, now I've done wrong. How I've done wrong. He said, and I say unto her, her sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Go in peace. What is it? She recognized her opportunity. She did it. She did him a service. The Pharisees didn't do it. She saw it. She recognized his presence. And what did it do? It washed. What did it release to her? forgiveness. It released to her forgiveness of her sins. What did it do also? It released the power of God to show them unbelievers that he was a prophet and he knew who she was. And released joy and power and eternal life. It released that. That's what happens when you identify with Jesus Christ. It releases joy. It releases power. And it releases eternal life. That's what happened when you identify. This woman who was a bad woman. And we've all been the bad woman. We all come the same way. We all come with shame on our face, coming here ashamed of who we are, ashamed of what we've been, ashamed of what we've done. But because Jesus Christ is here, I will push over top of all of that. See, when you really know it's Jesus Christ, you got to realize it's him. And when you realize that he is really here, you got to push over all of that shame, all of that problem, all of those troubles, all of your shortcomings, all of your sin. You push over all of that because you want to identify with him and lay your head at his feet. Whatever you got to do, when you realize it's him. See, their problem was they didn't know how to identify with him. But she did. Only the elect knows how to identify with him. Only the elect can identify with the word of God. We hear the word and we identify with it. They hear the word and they don't recognize it as the word of God. Simon and them didn't recognize Jesus speaking as the word of God, but she did. The little woman at the well, she recognized him. Though she wasn't even supposed to talk to him. When Jesus came and started talking to her, she said, we know when the Messiah comes, he's going to do these things. She said, I am he. He said, you give me to drink, I'll give of you to drink of this water, and you'll never thirst again. That's what happens when you identify with him. Amen. When you identify with him, the world will grow strangely dim. When you identify with him, the pull for the word becomes more so than the pull for your family. The pull for the word comes stronger than the pull for your likes. The pull for the word becomes stronger than your own self. Amen. When you want to sleep in, the word pulls you and says, get up. When you want to stay away, the word pulls you and says, come. When you want to quit, I won't ask you to raise your hand. Just let me raise my hand. I've wanted to quit. I've wanted to walk away. I've wanted to turn it down. I've wanted to say no more. I've wanted to say it costs too much. I've wanted to say I don't want to do this anymore. But the pull that's in me is greater than even my own self. I am pulled to the word of God. I'm identifying with the word of God. The reason I'm here is I'm identifying with the word of God. That's why I'm here. And there's no greater pull than being right where the word of God is. If you lived in the days of Noah and was in your present character, you are who you are right now. Would you have been what group would you be identified with? Now think of it, what group? If we were sitting, let's just take it for a second. If this is the ark that we're sitting in, this church is the ark, and this is time of Noah, and I'm Noah, and I'm saying, come in this ark, or you're going to die. What have you identified with? You can tell where you would be in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible, by what you're doing right now. Had you been there in Noah's day, you'd been sitting in that ark. Though you're talked about, though you're despised, though your family don't understand you, though your friends think you lost your mind, though you almost think you lost your mind yourself. You're like, what in the world? But you're in the ark. Do you realize they were sitting in the ark probably thinking those 7 days, Noah knew that he didn't close that door, so Noah was resting. But the other seven were probably like, what have we done? Noah, are you sure? Yeah, we're fine. Day two, Noah, we've been sitting here for 60 years, church. And no rain. No rapture. Are you sure, Brother Moore? Yes, yes. He told me we're going to do it. He closed the door of the ark in 63. He's got us in here, so he's got to be still.
Amen.
Be still and know that I'm God. Know that God keeps his word. I'm here to just reassure you that God is the right one to identify with in the middle of this untoward generation. You say, are you sure, Noah? Noah, who would you be identified with? You're not sitting in a Baptist church. You're not sitting in a Methodist church. You're in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join. What would you identify with? When here is an old fanatic standing up there on the hill that's been proven over and over for 120 years that he's out of his mind because he's absolutely predicting that the water's coming down from up there. And all the scientific instruments proved that it wasn't there. And because it didn't jive up with the scientific thing, how could Almighty God ever do something that was against their own reasoning? See, how in the world is there going to be a rapture? Nobody has ever been able to leave this world in a rapture. We can't get out of here. It's scientifically impossible. Gravity won't allow it. We can leave this atmosphere, we can't breathe. See, and a man was talking about, he was a laughing stock of the time. We are a laughing stock of the time. Now I wonder, yeah, you just ask, what group would you be identified with? With the popular opinion of the day? Or you say, I belong to church. That's not what I'm talking about. They had plenty of church groups in that day, probably more than we got now. But there was somebody with the message from God. And it was very unpopular. His group was very unpopular because he was considered a fanatic. Would you be ready to identify yourself with that fanatic group? The only way that you'll ever do it would be for it personally to be revealed to you. The only way we are where we are in this building here today is because it's personally revealed to you. You couldn't keep up with the pressures that's pressing against people in this church. Without a personal revelation, you'll fall off. Without a personal revelation, you'll walk away. Without a personal revelation, you'll never understand why we do what we do. But because God personally reveals to you, that is the only way to stay with the fanatics.
That's right, man.
The only way that you'll ever be able to do it would be for it personally to be revealed to you. And do you know that's the only way that God built his church? Amen. He built the entire church on the same thing that has you sitting here today. Amen. You're identifying with a message that's despised and rejected by the rest of the world. But you're sitting right here saying, I believe it's the truth. You're identifying with the message of the hour by being here. Your family or friends are trying to talk you out of it. Isn't it funny? They don't try to talk you into going to church. But when you come here, they actually try to talk you out of coming here. So you got to be in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to overcome all these fanatics that are hounding you constantly. The world, the newscast, the church world, your family, your spouses sometimes. You gotta stand on the word of God and identify with it over top of it all. Amen. When your wife falls like and acts like a foolish woman, you gotta do like Job did. You talk like a foolish woman. When your spouse ain't going along with it, you push through. When the rest of the world tries to tell you, well, you don't have to do this, do it anyhow. When the rest of the world tells you, it doesn't take all of that, oh yes, it does. It takes that and more. We're talking about a body change. We're talking about getting the dead up. We're talking about a group of people who's doing something that's never been done before. You got to be able to stand up in all the face of all those fanatics and say it's right anyhow. Lay your hand on this sacrifice. Lay your hand on this message. Identify with your prophet. Identify with the Lord Jesus Christ and claim it over top of all the fanaticism of the world. Identify with the Word of God. No matter what they say, no matter how much they push, one thing they can't do. They didn't give it and they can't take it away. They didn't cause me to believe this thing and they can't make me disbelieve this thing. I believe it over top of everything. I'm going to push over top of everything. I'm going to lay my hand right on that sacrifice. I want to feel the blood coming out. I want to feel the heart's beat stop. I want to identify with Jesus Christ, knowing that he's done all this just for me. Amen. Nobody else can take my place. Nobody else can do it. I'm identified with this word. I'm identified with what God brought us in this hour. I'm identified with what he's doing. 70 didn't want to do it. Won't read it. I'll tell you the scripture, though. Let's go over there in John chapter 6. You don't go there. John chapter 6, verse 30. You can read it all the way down to verse 65, 66. It talks about when Jesus was dealing with the church folk. And he told them hard things. They can't take it. I tell y'all hard things, but you can take it. They walk away. They don't want nothing to do with it. 70 walked away. They didn't identify with him. He looked at the last 12, said, hey, y'all want to go with him? You can go. I'm not holding you. There's nothing holding you. That's where Peter said, hey, where else can we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Amen. We got to go with you all the way. Don't identify with that 70. Don't identify with the world. We got a message. We got a prophet. We got a word from God. We're standing and identifying with the word. We're identifying with the word. We're laying our hand on the sacrifice of this message. Every time we come, the young people are starting to do it. They're realizing I don't have to wait till I'm grown. I'm identifying with this thing right now. It belongs to me right now. I have somewhat to say right now. The older people are getting off their bench finally and saying, hey, let me do something about this. I've got somewhat to say. I'm identifying. I'm going to lay my hand on that sacrifice. I'm not going to just let Brother Don do it. I'm not going to just let Brother Jay do it. I'm going to do it for myself because they can't tell you what God's done for me like I can tell you what God's done for me. I know where I was in the last year, and I know what God has taken away from me by way of the blood, and nobody can tell you that but me. I'm identifying with my sacrifice. Not a put on. Not a show off. This isn't a show. This is a sincere walk with Jesus Christ. And you got to identify with this thing for yourself. Your spouse can't do it. Don't come here for your kids. Don't come here for your spouse. Come here because you want to lay your hand on that sacrifice. You want to identify with the Word of God for the hour that we're living in. And when you do that, God will take care of you. We are the final voice to the final age. It's in us. The fanatics don't believe it. But you just stay right where the word is, and God will take care of you. Come on, musicians. You stay right under the word. You be right there at your post of duty. You listen to God. You listen to the word. And don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Don't worry about what everybody else says. Don't worry about what the rest of the world's doing. They're going off in so many different directions, and here you sit in the ark. Amen. Where would you be identified if you were in the day of Noah? Where would you be identified in the day of Christ when the little woman was there with the alabaster box? Where would you be in the last hour and there's a prophet on the scene and a message of the hour that's calling for a bride to come out of her? Where would you be when you're looking around and you see that there's a voice going through the land and it's in the bride of Jesus Christ? What would you be identified with? You're sitting here like, I never really thought of it. But here I am. Oh, yeah. Right in the middle of the Word of God for the hour. Amen. Put me anywhere you want in that Bible. I would have followed the Word. Yeah. Put me anywhere with the word, I'd been right there where Jesus is. How do you know you'd be right where Jesus is? Because I'm right where Jesus is now. I'm identifying with him right now. I'm right where the word is right now. I know the word. I hear the word. And I understand the word clearly. And I'm laying my hand on this message. And I'm saying, Lord, this is all I want. This is all I need. Jesus is all I need. You can have this world. You can take it and you can do what you want with it. You can look at it and think, well, you know what? I want to make it where I can just stay here a little bit longer. I don't want to stay here one moment past a point where God wants me to be here. When God says it's time for us to go, I wanted to go. So we're going to sing that song, He's All I Need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Amen. Not today. Amen. Amen. What key is that? Oh, that might be a little high. He's all. Whoa, that's not going to work either. Go a little low. Go back down there. Go back down to your G where you had it. He's all. All I need. Oh, maybe go down to D. I can't do this. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. Yes, He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's coming soon. Oh, He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Oh, He's coming soon. Yes, He is coming. Heavenly Father, Lord, in the hour that we're living in, we have to identify with something. It's either going to be with You, or it's going to be this world order. And Father, I don't need anything other than You. I thank You, Lord, for this hour that we're living in and how You've blessed us so much. You've put us right smack dab in the middle of Your ark when we didn't realize even what was going on. You shut the door when we didn't even know it was shut. You've saved us when we didn't even know we needed to be saved. But God, we ask You to just help us to press and push like never before and surrender You to everything. Give You all that we have. For, Lord, I'm identified with You. I'm not identified with this world. You can take this world and all its riches. I want You. We want You. That's why we're here today. You put something in us because we had something in us to love You. I pray You help us to surrender it all to You. I pray that we sacrifice everything else to buy that pearl of great price, that we can lay our hands on that sacrifice and identify with You. And Lord, You'll bless us for that. Just like You blessed the little woman. You said, leave her alone. She's fine. Oh, this bride is fine. Thank You for a desire to serve You, a desire to want to be right, a desire to want to please You. As we go from here, Lord, just let us give You everything. Let us not hold back a thing. But Lord, it all belongs to You anyway. But we don't want to act like it belongs to us. We want to just turn it all over to You. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, no services tonight. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Jesus.
He's coming soon.
Just a minute.